great everybody out today, and I want to thank you as usual for an opportunity to preach God's word. I want to thank Art for some awesome songs this morning, and for Ken for the prayer, and all the men for doing such a fine job today. And as usual, it's a privilege to serve with such wonderful believers and friends in Christ. As usual, I also just put out the disclaimer here, just because I'm standing before you as a preacher does not produce any claim that I am more righteous than you in any way, shape, or form. I'm just simply trying to be a mouthpiece for God's word and to share some things that I think I understand about the word that might help you with your walk as well. So let's get to it. Last Sunday, Brother Art Williams gave a great sermon about the importance of using our words in accordance with God's teaching, that they be holy and clean, and that they be used to build up our neighbors. Similarly, the lesson today will focus on the potentially destructive power of our words and the great responsibility we have to control our tongues every day. The title of the lesson is Handling Your Neighbor's Reputation. Just a while ago, Phil read the Ten Commandments. The one I want to focus on is, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. This ninth commandment from Exodus 20:16 has to do with controlling one's tongue, a very important but extremely difficult task. Let me remind you what James says about the tongue in James chapter 3, verse 5. James chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. However, Jesus does remind us that we can do all things through him. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So therefore, there's absolutely no excuse for a big mouth. Few people realize the awesome and destructive power of the human tongue. Because of a misspoken word, homes have been splintered, reputation shattered, lives literally destroyed, and even ended. That little piece of muscle that lies in your mouth, behind your lips and your teeth, it can bless or bruise, heal or hurt, love or lambast. It all depends upon how you use it. This Exodus verse, it deals primarily with one's testimony in a trial setting. God says that we must never be guilty of lying on our neighbor, thereby causing him to suffer. We are exhorted to always be truthful and absolutely honest when dealing with another person. As we consider some of what God has said about the tongue, may he help us to understand that every time we speak of another, we literally hold that person's reputation in our hands. Today I'd like to speak for a few minutes on this thought, how to handle your neighbor's reputation. So, my first point, a reputation is a valuable possession. In Proverbs chapter 22, right at the beginning, chapter 22 of Proverbs, it says, a good name is more desirable than riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. So according to the Bible, one's good name or reputation is far more valuable than riches or expensive ointments, as it says in Ecclesiastes 7, a very similar passage. That's how we should value our reputation, and that's how we should value the reputation of others, friends, our family, our church family, colleagues, teammates, even people that cause us harm. Your reputation determines the level of respect you receive. When people hear about a person who is dishonest, deceptive, or otherwise living their life in a sinful, shameful manner, They don't put much confidence in them. But when you meet someone that people have nothing but positive things to say about, respect will usually follow. Jesus was such a man. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 52, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We should do all that is in our power to see that we never allow our names to be associated with that which is disrespectful and shameful. It will undermine your good name and cause people to lose respect for you. Our lives ought to be a beacon of integrity and decency. My next point, your reputation determines the level of the response you receive. Every Christian wants to be respected as a Christian and have his or her testimony be respected and responded to in a positive manner. The type of response that we can expect will always be determined by the kind of life others see us living. It's been said, "What do you speak so loudly that I cannot hear what you are saying?" Let me try that again. I think I emphasized that. What you do speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you're saying. That's what I meant. In other words, the world will never believe what we say until they can see what we believe. My next point. Your reputation is important because what people perceive you to be is usually a fair indicator of what you really are. You see, your reputation is what others think you are, and your character is what you really are. However, people can misread us and misunderstand us and cause us to be something less than what we actually are. But however, as a general rule, your reputation is usually a direct result of your character. In other words, people think the way they do about you because of the way they see you act and the way you live on a daily basis. Next, your own reputation is valuable. Therefore, guard it with your very life and pray that others will do the same for you. Now, you cannot always help what others do with your reputation, but you can help what you do with theirs. And that's the big point. That's what I want you to keep in mind as we go forward with the lesson today. So kind of my next chunk here. Our reputation can be vandalized publicly. And it's a very serious thing. When we undermine the reputation of another by the words we speak, we're guilty of destroying that person's respectability and credibility to others. We're guilty of doing unspeakable damage to a person's life or ministry by the words we say about them. A couple illustrations here, a couple stories. There was a woman who was guilty of gossiping about her preacher. She was convicted, and then she went to him to apologize and to try to make restitution for her wrongdoing. The preacher graciously accepted her apology and then told her that if she wanted to make it all right again, that she should pluck the feathers from a chicken, carry its feathers to the top of the highest building in town, and cast the feathers into the four winds. She did this, and when this was done, she returned to the preacher, and he looked at her and said, "Okay, now go and collect every one of those feathers." And she replied in horror, "That's impossible." He said, "So it is impossible for you to take back all of those things you have said about me." Another illustration. Another preacher was having trouble with a gossipy woman in the church. Every time she would see his car parked anywhere strange, she began immediately to spread the word that their preacher was having an affair. There was no truth to her rumors, but she kept it up until the preacher, in an effort to stop her mouth, left his car parked in front of her house, day and night, for a full week. And that took care of the problem. You see, the words of a false witness can be forgiven, but they will never be forgotten by those who are touched by their poison. Everlasting damage can be done to reputations and ministries. People can even wind up in hell because of the lies of a foolish person. The Lord has no use for a gossip talebearer. A poem by Jean Blouet. The man who with the breath lent him by heaven speaks words that soil the whiteness of a life is but murder, for death is given as surely by the tongue as by the knife. It's a sad thing. It's a sad day when one person thinks they have to repeat something negative about another. This is behavior that is hateful to God and demeaning to people. There are several ways in which people are guilty of using their tongues against another. I'll make a list. Slander. Slander, defined as communication of false statements injurious to a person's reputation. We are guilty of slander when we knowingly lie about another person in an effort to harm their reputation. Lying. A false statement deliberately presented as being true. Whether we admit it or not, we are all guilty of lying. Wonder when 67% of Americans do not believe an absolute truth. It's said that 91% of us lie regularly. Most never even make it through a week without lying. And 1 out of 5 cannot even make it through one day without telling a lie. Statistics say that people lie 92% of the time to save face, and 98% of the time lie to keep from offending somebody else. But we have gone way too far when we tell things about others that we know are untrue. Criticism. What I'm referring to are statements made about another's actions, ways, and deeds in an effort to hurt their reputation. Constructive criticism is a good thing, but destructive criticism is absolutely intolerable by God. A couple analogies. Consider the vulture. The vulture sees nothing but rotten and dead. He doesn't see the flowers. He doesn't see the green grass. He doesn't see the living creatures all around. His focus is on the dead and the corrupt. There can be a lot of vultures, even around the Lord's house. Another analogy. A lady was looking out her window, watching her neighbor hang wash on the clothesline. As she watched, she remarked to a friend, "Our neighbor sure isn't clean. Why, just look at those streaks on her laundry." Her friend replied, "Those streaks are on your windows, not on her clothes." Sometimes it's the sin in our own heart that makes us look for the evil in others. Another way in which people are guilty of using their tongues against another, tale-bearing. This is a practice of spreading gossip and rumors about others. It may be that the rumors are even true, but that does not give us the right to tear down another's reputation. If we learn a secret about our neighbor and we want to tell someone about it, tell God. He knows how to deal with their need and with them. And I promise you that He knows how to handle the gossip as well. Gossip is always a sin. Insinuation. Insinuating is the practice of hinting that something may be wrong in the life of another. When we are guilty of making people doubt another's reputation, we are guilty of sin before the Lord. Exaggeration. Exaggeration. This is an easy lie to tell. We stretch numbers, statistics, etc., to make things look better. What fisherman is there who has not been guilty of stretching the size of the one that got away? When we knowingly exaggerate, we're lying. Silence. When we hear a lie being told and we remain silent, we're guilty of the slander of silence. We become partly responsible for the deception by not setting the record straight and not standing up for righteousness. Loose lips sink ships. This old saying is appropriate to the church today. Many churches are in turmoil because of gossip and foolish talk. Rest assured, God will deal with the gossip. Notice what the Bible has to say about the trouble a gossip can cause. In Proverbs chapter 20, this one's a little longer, you might turn to it. Proverbs chapter 26, starting in verse 20. Proverbs 26, verse 20, it says, "Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife." The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Like a coating of silver dross on earthenware, are fervent lips with an evil heart. Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. Though their speech is charming, do not believe them, for seven abominations fill their hearts. Their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. It's a sinful thing when we practice any of these methods upon one another. We're guilty of sin before the Lord. In fact, God includes abuses of the tongue as three of the seven things he hates the most. In Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16, Proverbs 6 and 16, he says, "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." My last point this morning: relations should be vigorously protected. Confront the gossip. Be quick to stand up for those who are being torn apart by the mouth of a gossip. We're just as guilty as the one talking when we stand there and listen to the slander, when we do and say nothing in our brother or sister's defense. Be ready, though. Most gossips are sneaky, conniving people. They will be just as ready to turn their sharp tongue on you as they would on anybody else. In fact, if a gossip will gossip to you, he or she will probably gossip about you. Conceal the guilty. This does not mean that we condone sin in the lives of believers. It does mean, however, that we should hesitate about bringing it out in open. Many lives have been completely destroyed because people gossiped about them behind their backs. People condemned them instead of praying for them. They didn't have the wisdom to let God work it out in his time and in his way. As usual, God has a word about this in Proverbs 11 and verse 13. It says, these are just kind of quick ones, one-versers. Proverbs 11, verse 13, it says, "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret." And then in Proverbs 17, 9, he says, "Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." And then in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin." Last week, Art gave us an awesome acrostic. He gave us HALT, H-A-L-T, to be careful of what you say when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. I thought that was... Here's another good one for what you will say or refrain from saying. Think. T-H-I-N-K. We should think before we speak of another. T. Is it true? H. Will it help? I. Is it inspiring? N. Is it necessary? K, is it kind? Before you repeat something, think about that. Think. Is what you're repeating, is it even true? Will it help? Will it help that the person you're telling it to in some way? Will it inspire them in a way? Is it necessary? And is it kind? If what you have to say fails in any of these categories, it's pretty safe to say you'd be better off not using your tongue at all, lest it be used for damage rather than for good. A good habit to fall into is that of saying nothing about anyone unless it's good. In conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, are you guilty of using your tongue to harm another? If so, you need to repent of that sin and get right with God. When you use your tongue to attack another, you're opening up your life to judgment, the God. And James is exactly right when he says, the tongue is a world of iniquity. The question today is, what shape is your world in? Are you guilty before the Lord today of using your tongue in a manner not pleasing to him? If so, I invite you to come to the front and get that thing made right with the Lord. If you've been hurt by the long, wicked tongue of another, then I invite you to bring that injury to Jesus and let him heal your heart. Every child of God needs to search his or her heart and determine for whose glory we are using our tongues. God help us to do the right thing. If we can help you in any way, please come to the front now as we stand. And as we sing,
there is come.